This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. For some writers, poetry is a form of escape, a place to conceive and create alternate realities. But for John Hoppenthaler, poetry reflects his personal experiences. A move from New York to Eastern North Carolina meant a new landscape and different culture. Marriage meant a change in his personal life and a redefined family. And each of these transitions shaped Hoppenthaler's latest book of poetry, Domestic Garden. John Hoppenthaler is a professor at East Carolina University. He's going to speak this weekend at WordFest in Asheville and then next week in Greensboro. Right now he's on The State of Things. Welcome back, John. Good to have you here.
Great to be back, Frank. Thanks. This show's really meant the world to me as I struggle to learn about my adopted new home here.
Well, it's been a big theme of yours, sort of understanding the landscape and how it shapes your perception. Talk more about that.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a poet like Seamus Heaney was a poet, and that the landscape really does have a lot to do with what I write. And I go out into the world, and the world reveals to me things. And those are the things that I try to get into my poems. And my landscape was the lower Hudson Valley of New York. And when I came down here, it was a very different place. And, you know, when I drive to work, I drive through cotton and tobacco and soybeans. And it took a while for me to take that all in and be able to write about it. And I think I've begun to be able to do that with this new book.
Well, it's interesting that you would say that and then make that very nice comment you did about our show, in the sense that a landscape is a very tangible thing. It's something that you see, feel, touch, smell. It appeals to the senses. And then there's what we do, which is sort of make it all, turn it all into words and create stories about it. And they become abstract, no matter how concrete we try to make it. It seems to be that blend of the very tangible, the very palpable, and the abstract is the poet's mission, right? I mean, that's a big part of the poet's project.
Absolutely. In the end, it's the ineffable that we're fighting against. And how do you begin to approach things that are almost impossible to talk about and talk about them in a way that is also communication, that also engages an other the way art needs to? And that's really been my mission as a poet.
You have a lot of lovely poems here that do all of that, but one of them that did it the most for me was a poem called Home Movie, and I wonder if I can get you to read it for us.
Absolutely. This is actually a poem that is also in my first book, but I really felt it was important to reprint it in this book because it serves a purpose in the larger narrative of the book. Home Movie. I watch a Super 8 saved from the attic when Mom moved to Florida. 10th birthday, candles, a cake. My sister's, Dad's hand shaking the camera, brash light. Uncle Eddie straddling a chair, white tee, muscled arms dark brown from construction. His shadow almost covers the kitchen wall. My gifts that year, a Zebco fishing rod, a tackle box. Cut to the front lawn, Uncle Eddie clamps 5 lead split shots to line's end. I'm casting into the road. 1 month later, he was dead. Chainsawing trees alone, bad judgment took him. Beyond the frames, I can see my grieving mother almost losing her grip, her mind someplace none of us dared follow. In Romania, she'd raised him like her own, now couldn't raise him again. There's a point, a splice more than halfway in, where the film catches a little. I've watched the movie 6 times through and lost each time those images back to where the end slides out, slaps like a razor strop. Then I turn on the lamp, snap the projector arm up, rethread. I'll rewind my godfather uncle, play him over until that old connection snags. The screen seems to melt, film burns. I'll slowly reel it in again, sinkers stealing through the uncut grass.
John Hoppenthaler reading from his latest volume, Domestic Garden. You said it plays an important part in the overall construction of the book. What part does it play for you?
Well, my mom's brother did, in fact, die in the way the poem describes, and a poem subsequent to this one talks about my mother's, about his burial and my mother's plunge into a deep depression that really took her out of things for a while. And I thought the poem really needed to be there to kind of set that up in a way. And there's also some gestures in the poem that are repeated in some of the other poems. There's a lot of echoing in this book of different images, different actions that tend to ripple through this book.
What I love about it, just in terms of the craft of poetry, is the number of sort of the levels of consciousness you take us to. There's a film, you're in a room, you're especially toward the end, you know, the end slides out and it slaps like a razor strop. So now the image is the film itself and being present to that experience. But of course, on the film are these very palpable images, a Zebco fishing line, right? The candles the candles on the cake. But they're not there, right? They're on a screen, so there's something tangible, something very real, and yet honestly embedded in your memory. And if it weren't for that, they'd be meaningless. So you've got these layers and layers of both tangible, and then, of course, you go off into the meditation on what it means for an uncle to have been lost, all of which is highly abstract. And I think that's the beauty in what poetry can really do, is take us all through our own meditations then by this very, very tangible, realistic way in.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, when I write the poem's my poem. When I give it away, it's the reader's poem, and their negotiation with it isn't going to be the same as mine because they bring to it a whole different set of educational understandings and cultural understandings and personal experience. And so that poem is going to be transformed in a way that I see as a kind of alchemy. And it becomes their poem. And the more I can do to provide them the tools that they'll need to have that process take place, the sensory details, the character actions that are loaded with meaning, that will then allow them to plug into their own set of these things and create a piece of art that isn't necessarily a piece of art I had in mind, but it's the piece of art they need in their mind.
Which is the polite way of saying you can come up with any crazy interpretation you want, Frank. I wrote the poem, I'm done with it.
As long as it's based in the text.
No, and it is. And I hear what you're saying, the idea that it then becomes a conversation. Do you feel that as you're writing your poetry, the idea that you're sort of in conversation with that reader you may never meet?
I don't think about a reader when I'm writing my poems. When I perform my poems, I do. And it's about inhabiting a poem and trying to figure out how would this speaker I've constructed say things, what the pace of the poem needs to be in order for it to provide the things that I want the reader to have. And so the reading and the writing are really two different things for me.
Yeah, gardens play an important part in this volume as well. It's called The Domestic Garden, and you have another poem called The Garden of Eden.
I do.
Can I ask you to read that for us?
Absolutely. And this poem is set in where I grew up, in New City, New York, 1965, The Garden of Eden. He placed one looped end of a thin white rope between her ring and middle finger, closed her hand over it, then walked away with the other end until the line pulled taut. Soon, Wash appeared, a billowing sheet, boxer shorts, her camisoles, a flutter of colorful shirts and water-heavy blue jeans, cuffs nearly grazing the dusty grass. He built a suitable fence around the yard. Then they were both free to roam the property and the one sunny corner, and they made a garden of it. Nothing fancy. Rows of lettuce, carrots, parsley, and melons. He put up another fence, wire mesh to bedevil hungry deer, but the two of them passed easily in and out of the gate. Soon, honeysuckle covered the fence and drenched morning air with bees and sweetness, and soon tomato plants arose, and together they staked them. Then aphids and a compost pile, and debt began to appear, credit cards, a mortgage, and then shirts faded, and underwear grew threadbare, and wild thoughts began to enter their heads. Still, the garden thrived. Together, they pinched suckers, weeded and watered. When the slug jars needed refilling, Each would pour a few sips from beers they held in their hands as sunlight arced away into dusk. It couldn't be said that times weren't tough, but they ate often from the garden. Weather rarely let them down. They weren't religious, but it pleased them to think of that other garden. They'd come to see themselves as whom you'd already guessed, and had gained all the knowledge they'd ever need as they saw it, it being the gradual process of growing old while their children gorged themselves on the ripest fruit.
John Hoppenthaler reading from his new volume of poetry, Domestic Garden, that one called Garden of Eden. And gardens do play, in one way or another, cultivation, a big part in this.
Yeah. Obviously there's the Garden of Eden thing I'm working with here. But my mom was a gardener. I'm not a gardener myself, but my mom was. And I do remember these gardens that were, you know, at the place I grew up at. And what I'm thinking about here is I got married a few years ago at the age of 49, just a few days before my 50th birthday. And that changed my life in significant ways. My lovely wife, Christy, and my stepson, Danny, and so I gained a stepson as well. And so that was a great transition, and that just on the heels of my transitioning down to here, to a new job, to a new landscape. And at the same time, my mom transitioning into dementia in a nursing home. So all of these things kind of came together, and it seemed to me that one thing that I was doing was making a garden of it and trying to create the paradise we all hope to make. And it was late in life at a time when many people have already done that. And here I am starting at 50 doing this thing where, you know, and do I have the energy to do it? And do I have the knowledge to do it? And do I have the bravery to do it? And so it's been those experiences that really found their way into this particular book.
Wen, how much of that, those new experiences, allowed you to sort of cultivate your own experience, past experiences, in brand new ways to sort of recontextualize your own history now that you've got these remarkable new circumstances?
That's right. My first two books, when I write poems, I'm not so interested in truth. And I mean by that small t truth. So the details, many of my poems are completely imaginative or largely imaginative. Most of my speakers are personae that I've created. So the proportion in my first two books was maybe four-fifths absolute imaginative acts and one-fifth poems that are really true to my life. The percentage is different in this book in pretty much the other way. Most of the poems are, for the most part, true to my life, with a few details fudged for the sake of art, and just a small handful that are completely imaginative acts. So it seems to me, I think, that I now have something I feel strongly enough to write about that's in my life, and that's kind of given me the impetus to move in that direction. It's not exactly confessional. It's more like reality for me.
I'm talking with poet John Hoppenthaler today on The State of Things. His latest volume is called Domestic Garden. Well, one of the real facts of your life was the fact that you worked for Toni Morrison.
Right? I did.
You have a poem. Let me ask you to read that, and then we'll talk more about what it's like to work for Toni Morrison.
It's called, for lack of a better title, Poem from Titles in Toni Morrison's Library. The tongues of angels, the farming of bones, human behavior, contraries, easy travel to other planets. You must remember this, rain and other stories, the foreseeable future, voices in the garden. Anything can happen. A handful of stars, grace abounding, the dimensions of the short story. What happens next? Unseen rain, hoodoo medicine, breakfast in the ruins, this rain coming, one dark body.
The poem is called Poem from Titles in Toni Morrison's Library. The author is John Hoppenthaler from his new volume, Domestic Garden. So what's the story behind that one?
Well, the fact is, for 9 years, I served as Toni Morrison's personal assistant. And the first thing that Toni had me do under her employ was to restock the shelves of her library. Her home had burned down, had been rebuilt, and so I, for whatever reason, took out a piece of paper and began to jot down titles that seemed interesting to me, thinking somehow I'd get a poem out of it. But of course, that piece of paper ended up in a shoebox, and I moved several times during the time I worked for Toni, and made its way down to North Carolina in a box. And about 6 years ago, during a spring break, I decided I would go to the Outer Banks and set up a tent and write some poems for that week. The mosquitoes were fierce, so all I could do was be inside the tent with a bottle of wine and my camp light. And
yeah, that'll keep the mosquitoes away.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I stuck my hand in the box, and the first thing I pulled out was this prompt from 18 years earlier. And I was like, okay, what do I do with this? And as I started looking at the titles, a narrative began to reveal itself. But still I was unsure. I guess we would have to call this a found poem in some ways. And I had never written anything quite like this before, and I was very unsure about it, and so I kind of kept it under wraps until my friend Natasha Trethewey invited me down to Emory to give a reading. And I knew that Natasha's hero is Toni Morrison. So I figured, well, if I'm ever going to read this poem, this is the time to do it. So I read the poem there, and she loved it. And so I figured if it was good enough for a Pulitzer Prize winner to say good things about, then it was good enough for the book, so I ended up putting it in here.
All right, John. Well, thank you for being on the program. Next time you're back, we'll talk about your experience working with Toni Morrison. But for now, it was a pleasure to have you on the program and hear your poetry. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, Frank.
John Hoppenthaler is a poet and professor at East Carolina University. His new book is Domestic Garden. Going to be in Asheville at WordFest this weekend. Going to read in Greensboro at Tate Street Coffee House May 9th. He's going to be at the Regulator here on May 13th. Anyway, if you missed that, go to our website, stateofthings.org. Program produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley's our technical director, Jess Clark our intern, Brent Wolf is WNC's news director, and North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.